Brian Mazeroski here with you on WBEN. Nice, bright, sunny morning. Looking good out there. And we have a very special guest in studio joining us today. Long promised and teased this week. We're talking weed here on WBEN. Aaron Van Camp is joining us. He's one of the first businesses to be given a marijuana dispensary license and aiming to be the first one in the Buffalo area, I should mention, aiming to be the first one up and running here in Western New York. And he's joining me live. And Aaron, I have been looking forward to this conversation, but almost for an entirely different reason. Because you currently run BC Can and Bottle.
That I do.
Before we get into anything,
the maker of Six Cent Sunday, let me mention as well.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Because before, as interesting as the whole marijuana thing is, and with what's happening here in New York State, how does the Can and Bottle thing, I've wondered this for the last 15 years, ever since I saw the first one. I drive past the Can and Bottle Redemption Center, and I go to myself every time, how is that a business? They're giving me the same 5 cents. I don't understand how they make money. Like, where is it all going? How does it all work? Can you help me understand it a little bit?
It's really pretty simple. Our state, along with, I believe, 11 others, have a bottle bill. The bottle bill does wonders for recycling. Basically, I want to say our recycling rate is somewhere probably in the 90% range, where a state close to us that doesn't have it, maybe like Ohio, is probably around 13 to 20%. So we're very clean. If you notice, the sides of our roads are very cleaned up. But that 5 cents that you're getting back isn't somebody else's 5 cents. That's 5 cents that you've put up as a deposit on that bottle, promising that you'll bring it back and get your 5 cent back. What happens though, is there's so many distributors that have those, is they added another 3.5 cent fee on your beverage that you don't know about, that basically comes to me, that makes it so I have to sort and do basically an auditing process for all the beverage companies to see who's getting what back. All their money's put into a fund, and then as I'm paying the people, the money's coming back out of that fund. What happens though with the leftover money from the fund is that goes to the state of New York and for education and teachers and things like that to promote it. So basically the way I make money is I'm sorting by distributor after the bottles come into my store and separating them and getting accounts so we know exactly what has to come out of Pepsi Cola's bank that they have set up for deposit, okay, or what comes out of Coca-Cola. Certo and Triad are major carriers for the beer companies out here. So I'm getting 3.5 cents extra to do basically some auditing and some accounting work to make sure that everything is what it's supposed to be and that the money's coming out of the right places and whatnot.
All right, making a little bit more sense. Because you mentioned 6 cent Sundays.
So 6 cent Sundays, our busiest day down there. We've been known to do 100,000 bottles on a Sunday.
That's crazy.
People really like to come out for that extra penny.
Plus,
they like us and they trust us. It's something that's very important in both industries. And it's an industry that I'm going into that I came from, is people want to know when they're coming there and you're counting, you're being fair, you're giving them an accurate count, you're paying them for what they brought in. Because the business has a weird bad stigma to it, as far as a lot of places have been somewhat dishonest with their customers, and we're known, basically have some of the best Google reviews out there. We're just known for being very honest and not doing anything funny.
Because I see that sign, 6 cents. I'm like, and now they're losing money. How does it work?
we make a little less, but the amount of volume we do, really, I never thought we'd do volume like that. I know there's a place in Clark Street in Hamburg that's the busiest bottle return in Western New York, and I've seen the numbers they do. They do 100,000 every day, and I couldn't imagine doing it until we put that 6 cent Sunday sign up. And the first week was okay. The second week was crazy. The third week, we were open for 2 hours, and typically I leave enough money for the whole day, and the girl called over and said, we need more money. And I thought she was stealing from me. I was ready to fire. I'm mad. I'm like, they did this to me because I'm at the Bills game. They know I'm not watching. And then looked in the camera, and the whole place was filled with bottles. And ever since then, every Sunday's been insane.
That's
there's,
wild.
There's a line out the door.
So it's like, so the distributors kind of keeping tabs on how much of their stuff gets recycled. I remember we were talking about this, many months ago. And somebody said, well, maybe it's they have to sort green bottles to green bottles, and Heineken wants their green bottles back, and then the clear ones go over here.
That's another scenario with the glass. It is clear brown I believe the brown and the green are still mixed together. We had an issue with that when we first opened where I believe we were separating them, but I think now all the colored glass goes together and the clear goes together. So that is something separate from actually counting each and every bottle. That aspect goes into it separately. But that's about how it works.
All right. It's always been fascinating to me. I've never once driven by one of these places and you know.
And there's a lot of them. I think it's probably, I'm in the two businesses that are on every corner in the city of Buffalo and suburbs at this point. The smoke shop and the bottle returns are everywhere. I'm unsure how I even make money with the amount that are there.
So how do you go from BC Cannabout and what you're doing now to operating and wanting to operate and applying for this license to open up a licensed marijuana dispensary?
I'd stayed up on the news. I'd been familiar with it becoming legal. I don't know if everybody remembers exactly how it happened. We were one of the strange states that we didn't have any legislation going. Nobody knew. We woke up Tuesday morning in the governor's ratings. This is when we were still with Cuomo. The governor's ratings seemed to be down, and all of a sudden we were allowed to smoke marijuana that day. I got the call, and people said, hey, did you check the news? Weed's legal now. And I said, what do you mean? They said, no, we can have 5 pounds at the house. I said, 5 pounds at the house? I'm like, what is these people talking about? I went on the news, and there we were. Weed was legal. So I was following the story a lot. And basically he wanted to help out people who had been affected by harsh marijuana laws and just people that were being over-policed, all sorts of scenarios. And I'd been in prison for marijuana. I had a little disagreement with the federal government over an import-export issue with it. They won the disagreement and had sent me had sent me away for a while. But that made me eligible to try and get a store. The other big factor with that was that I think that directly led for me and Glenn, one of the other guys who received a license out here, we're already basically working with the state. Like that bottle program, it goes through the state. It's a New York State bottle bill. So they're aware of how I'm running it. I'm paying my taxes. Everything's on the up and up. There's no problem. We're meeting all their standards. That's more run by the DEC. Anything they need, we're always doing for them. Glenn's got a liquor store, very similar to the marijuana market, a lot of tough regulations. So we feel like that bumped us up the list as far as the point system and what went on. But we filled out the applications because we fit in as people who are affected by the criminal justice system with it. And we got word back not too much longer that we were going to be selected. The problem was there was an injunction from a company, Verisite, who felt like interstate commerce was being affected by giving us licenses and not allowing people in other states or other people that were affected by the laws to have it. So we were shut down. It was like a bit disappointing. It got very, very stressful. At certain points, I'd put up $2,000 for the application. I was just mad. I thought that the state was robbing me. I was very angry. I was at my very tipping point, and all of a sudden, it just came on the news that it had been overturned, and we're getting stores. So we contacted them, the Office of Cannabis Management, and they really, like, they were surprised, too. They didn't know it was being overturned. They didn't know what to do. They're like, we'll try and get you in the next meeting. The next day, they called again and said, come out to New York. We're giving you your license. And since then, I've had the license. Not as easy a process as
I can imagine. And we'll get to some of that process. The idea here when New York is setting up, who is going to at least be first in line, get these first licenses, is to have somebody impacted by a prior marijuana conviction.
Yes.
And that you detailed that. But that wasn't it. You know, that it got a lot of the publicity, but there was also some other qualifications. You know, it's not just anybody who's ever been arrested, but you had to show like a little bit of business acumen, right?
They're getting 14% or 13% sales tax off this. 9% is going to the state, 4% is going directly to any municipality. So that's the key for them is if they're going into business with people, they want to know that they're getting their money. It's not just about creating opportunity for us. It's about us buying plows for the city of Buffalo so we're not buried under snow, or us creating tax dollars for whatever program needs to be. Also creating tax dollars for awareness to make it so people don't have to sell drugs and try and get programs for the kids and things like that. And that's like a big key with this. So they just want to know that they're going to get their money. And if you don't have a business or you haven't paid taxes, then how do they know they're going to get their money from you? And that's why I feel bad. We're in a position now where I do know a lot of people who are deserving. But at the same time, I have to ask them, well, did you pay taxes? Well, no, we didn't. So why would they want to deal with you? Mm-hmm. You haven't been paying them yet, so what's going to make you start paying them now? We had a reputation as we were doing things by the book. Us, we know Glenn, I don't know the other people. He runs a great liquor store. They're free and clear, and they do great business there. So they want to just make sure that they're going to get their money, because they're not just doing this for charity. It's a mm-hmm. business, and it's supposed to create a lot of revenue. They're projecting to do $20 million at one of the stores in New York City. So that means Manhattan's getting what would be $400,000 from them or something, or I believe it would be $400,000. That's a good chunk of money to get from one taxpayer or from one business directly to your municipality.
So, difficult to apply and wait through the process, and then the lawsuit and everything like that, and then you're awarded the license. And then what was your thinking then? Like, woohoo, we got it. But did you know that the next struggle that was going to pop up for you?
No. For 5 minutes, I thought I was rich. Everyone was congratulating me, and I'm going to be a millionaire. This is great. I was so happy. And then I get home. I find a wonderful building, call the number. No, we can't rent to you. And I was like, well, why not? We're federally insured. We're with a bank that's federally insured. No bank that any property that has a mortgage on it that has any sort of financing, they can't do it. And you don't really believe them. And you go to the next one and they tell you no. Then the next one tells you no. And then it's like I'm on the news and now people are calling. And any building that you'd want, they'll tell you no. But then people start calling with like, I don't want to even talk about some of the businesses because I don't want to single people out, but people call with the craziest ideas. Like, I have a broke down old gas station over here. You can get it for $5,000 a month and you need to put $600,000 into it. And you're looking at them like, no. And then we did want to buy, but like, we're trying to be first to market. So the amount of time that it would take us to find somewhere, purchase, do a build out, that was like somewhat bothersome and didn't seem like it was going to be really time effective for us. So that didn't work. And it just became like a huge problem finding real estate.
I can imagine that a lot of these places would have some sort of security concern too. There's the banking concern, and then there's this idea like, we've never dealt with this before. We understand it's mostly a cash business. It's a very valuable product inside. Like, I don't even know like what to expect. What do we need to do?
We really don't know what to expect. We have a set of security guidelines that we're following as far as a vaulted system. We've got like a bulletproof film on all the windows. So although you would be able to crack the old window, you're not coming through. We're going to have two Buffalo police officers there, not on duty, off duty at all times. I wouldn't worry as far as I understand the concerns of the landlord and maybe even the consumer, but we're providing like an insanely safe environment there. Mm-hmm. It just so happens the block that we moved on, one of my best friends growing up is the police officer who walks that block. He's never was a marijuana smoker, was a real by the book guy, but still understands what happened to me and didn't really enjoy or think that it was fair the amount of time that I'd done for marijuana. So he's like definitely got our back. And then the politicians over in our area too have been wonderful. Joel Farletto and Mitch from the Common Council are like, have bent over backwards to help us out down there. It was very tough at first, but I got very lucky to slide into a place, I guess I'm announcing it now, downtown at 501 Main. Just very, very lucky to be there.
You probably couldn't have asked for a better stop. 501 Main, right downtown. You're right in the thick of everything going on Main Street.
We're next to the Axe Throwers. We're on the same block as Fatty Beer, Graylin, Masudo Chow's, the people from Savoy are opening an amazing, they've got a great space that's basically on the same block as us, but the opposite corner. I can't wait till they open. I know they're going to have Sunday fun day going insane over there. It's going to be a great time. And it's a good place. We're really, really happy to be on that block after it's all said and done. I kind of want to tell the story because it's like, he didn't really want to rent to us. We were there. We were having a lot of trouble. And my friend found it on Facebook Marketplace. It's a guy, Eric Zellner. He owns Easy Tire over in Tonawanda. We went to meet with him, and he was like a little skeptical of this is going to cause some problems. We didn't know him. We started explaining to him just like why we're trying to get open so fast. A lot of people don't know the farmers in New York State are going to go out of business from this. We have 8 retailers, and we have 250 farmers. There's 300,000 pounds of excess marijuana allegedly in the state. where people were told 2 years ago that there's regular farmers. These aren't drug dealers. These are people who are growing tomatoes that wanted to add a hemp crop to their product just to, like, to try and fill some more space to do well. They were told, start growing this marijuana. We're going to give you these licenses. People put their life savings into it. And now there's 11 retailers for 250 farmers. It doesn't work. They're literally, like, I go to people's houses and they cry. They don't know what they're going to do. So he didn't want to rent to us. I start telling him the story, and he tossed me the keys. And I'm just like, what's going on? He was like, I can't say no to that. Like, and I was like, what do you mean? He's just like, no, that's, people need you. Go to town. And he rented to us. And I was like, I was just amazed.
Well, that's great. You mentioned the farmers, and that story has been, you know, really only coming to light over maybe the last couple of months after this, you know, opened the door for licenses here in Western New York.
People are going to lose everything.
There are so many people who jumped at the opportunity, and it's easy to forget the timeline here. People were given the okay to start growing way before these licenses ever began to be distributed throughout the state. And they were told that this is going to be legal. You're going to have stores up and open across New York State by the time your crop is ready. And that isn't what happened.
Yeah. I don't want to call it lied to, because no one maliciously set them up for that, but it's something that happened. And the fact that it happened and they're really in bad shape now, nothing's being done for them. It's something that really has to be done. I've been in talks with people about a grand opening, and they're asking me, well, who should we have cut the ribbon, or who do you want to come down politician-wise? And I don't feel comfortable having anybody come down, because how am I going to feel having a party when there's people that are losing everything they have? Like, it doesn't, you're going to take 2 days out of your life to come and cut a ribbon so you can get a photo op at my store when you should be in an office figuring out what you're going to do for these people, because people are losing everything. It's so sad to sit down with them. Like, you really go on these business meetings and it's supposed to be something that's, like, powerful, and you're sitting with some guy who starts crying. And you're just like, what's going on, bro? And he's like, I'm going to lose my house. And you're just, they're in trouble.
It's a sad situation.
Very sad.
You wonder if there's a way going forward to catch up in a way that helps them out. Like, do you see, as somebody who's in the industry, you know, there's all this extra marijuana now that has no place to be sold. Like, is there a way to catch up and make it right, or no?
They have to get us open. The real problem of this is they promised. Here's what happened when I signed up for the license. It sounded wonderful. They told me they're going to give you a $1.5 million loan, that if things don't work out for your business and this does go wrong, you don't have to pay back. So I had $1.5 million to gamble with. Like, just go do a build out, advertising, whatever you want. It sounded too good to be true. It was. They switched the process up then to, okay, we're going to do a build out for you at your location, but our company's going to do the build out for you. Then it turned into, we're going to pick the location for you and do the build out. We've got $150 million to do this. They hired a private fund to round up the money. We're not sure if they have any money. At this point, the people who have signed up for that program, I was interested in being a part of the program. It sounded really good. And then as it went on, it didn't really sound good, because, like, now they're lending the money at a 10%. Now the newest deal is they're lending the money at a 10% rate, which is worse than a mortgage. If I borrow $1 million from you, I owe you 2.4 in 10 years. I don't know if that's, like, a really positive. I'll say this, that's a predatory loan. The state's offering predatory loans to people for this. It's worse than, their numbers are worse than I'm getting from people in Michigan that want to give me money. I'm being hit by a million predatory lenders everywhere that want a piece of this. Yeah. But the state's numbers are worse than people who are supposed to be the scum of the earth that are out there preying on people. And the state has worse numbers than them as far as lending goes right now. So I don't know. If they come up with that money, that is a source to do. They have to really pop these people open. I don't know if they're staffed to distribute the money. Well, but that's their only chance, is trying to put together this money and get the people open, or something that doesn't work out for me, just open up licensing and let the corporations come in, or let anybody open up that can and really get it going, because the farmers are in trouble. in deep trouble. And if they don't do something for them quick, it's going to be catastrophic for a lot of people.
Well, Aaron Van Camp is our in-studio guest. His business, Dank, is one of the first to be given a marijuana dispensary license in the Western New York area. Aims to open in, 2 to 3 weeks at 501 Main downtown?
We're really hoping. with the amount of problems that we have, I mean, yesterday I thought we were going to be open 10 days from now, and then the bank wants you to jump through 7 more hoops, and the insurance people came out with 20 more pages of forms that you need to fill out.
So we won't add the pressure. Yeah. We won't add the pressure, but they have the location.
We're hoping for 2 or 3 weeks.
They have the license, and now what about the customers? That's what we'll get into when we return here. A little bit about the industry. Who are the customers going to be? What are they going to be looking for? What can you expect when you walk in if you've never done so before? Well, all that and much more with Aaron Van Camp here on BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski here with you on WBEN, and we're talking about the marijuana industry in Western New York with my guest Aaron Van Camp, who is with Dank, one of the first businesses to be given that dispensary license from the state here in Western New York and aiming to open on Main Street downtown, 501 Main Street. You know, I have a feeling that by the end of the show here, I'm going to be asking the same questions about the marijuana business that I was about the can and bottle business with how you're going to make money at all. But I want to get into that, you know, the consumer experience and kind of what you're expecting at all with consumers in this industry, because it's a really weird one, right? It's, you know, that there are consumers out there, like, you know, the customer is there. The question is, how does the customer want to buy marijuana, right? Like, and it's almost like a great unknown here in Western New York.
It's very unknown. I've been to a lot of the stores, a lot of the places. I see what they're doing. I follow the numbers. The biggest surprise people have had in New York so far is the main client is the 31 to 45 year old woman. We don't know why. We didn't expect it, but they're the main customer so far in New York City. They're coming in. We think a lot of it is, they're a little bit more educated of a consumer as far as they know what's going on in the black market. They don't want to risk having any sort of fentanyl or bad drugs. They also probably understand that a lot of the black market weed is produced in sweatshop-like conditions out west, and they're not trying to support that sort of thing. Also, they just feel like safe as far as coming into the store. Like, they don't want to feel like they're making a drug deal. They feel like they are buying a candle or maybe going to get some sort of medicine from Walgreens or something like that. They want just like a safer, better feel. Then you just have the smokers, the people like me who I like to get high. I'm not doing it for any medical reason. I feel like I'm a more enjoyable, happy person after I've smoked a blunt of Sour Diesel. So that's something that I like. They're going to come down just to see what we have, check the quality of our products. I mean, we're going to be really big on the concentrates and the edibles and things like that for our hardcore smoker, because we know we're going to have a little trouble with the flower. We're going to have a wide variety of flower, very good, but currently we're not having indoor marijuana based on the state's laws, and they're trying to keep it green and safe, and they don't want us to use, or they don't want the cultivators to use all that electricity and like have that footprint from what goes on.
I don't want someone to use electricity. That's a first. That's the first time I've heard that from New York State in a while.
Yeah, very different as opposed to the cars. But they're trying to keep it like for the cars, but away from the marijuana.
Yeah.
But basically, I said it's going to be a lot of people. Buffalo's got somewhat of what I call like that Krispy Kreme market, where when something new comes, everybody, it's a small town, everybody whispers and talks. Oh, yeah. I think we're going to get that. We're going to have that long line, much like the other stores have, from people just seeing what goes on, almost like the Pizza Hut that we just had brought
back. I've never heard that description of it before. That's so spot on. The Krispy Kreme market.
If you remember Krispy Kreme, the line was down the boulevard. Like, it was...
they had to put the portable heaters in the parking lot for people waiting in line.
And that's somewhat what opening a marijuana store is in the other districts. I don't know this is going to be like that. I'm almost apologizing to people ahead of time. Grand opening and the opening days probably are going to be rough down there. The other stores, when they open, they have huge lines. we're going to equip ourselves for it as best they can, all hands on deck, all staff there, but we don't know what kind of turnout we're going to have. We're hoping for a really good turnout. We just don't want people to be angry with us when they come in right off the bat, because it's not going to be like that forever. It's going to be something everyone wants to come down and see, and then it's going to level off to a more easier system to purchase, where you're not going to be in a line. It's going to be coming and going and in a much easier process than it will be for the little first batch of days that we have. It's the rollout for these have been insane. In Albany, Schenectady, Ithaca, Binghamton, it's really, really amazing the amount of people that have come out for the openings of these.
So you mentioned women, 30 to 40 or so. That's a very popular customer. I'm wondering, what you've seen in other areas, and if there's any way to kind of keep tabs on that, who is choosing now to go to one of these stores? How good are the legalized stores at drawing people who have maybe bought their pot from the same guy that, for the last 15 years or so, or just kind of, are used to doing it a certain way? Are these stores taking people out of the black market and into a new direction, or is it a totally new customer who might not even really be smoking marijuana at all?
I don't feel like it's a new customer. I feel like we're drawing some people back that were old customers. Maybe the guy that works the factory that doesn't talk to anybody doesn't really know where to get it. He just goes and gets his six pack when he goes home to watch the Laker game at night, and he doesn't know where to get his pre-roll. And now he's going to say, hey, I can go get it from Aaron downtown. So he's going to stop through. I think it's more of those people than actually getting new people to try marijuana. I think it's something that you're more likely to try with your friends who have already bought it and feel comfortable. And maybe if you try it with your friends, you're going to like it and want to come see us because you don't want to ask for their guy, or you don't want the shadiness. You don't want to be meeting some guy in a corner or waiting or having your guy tell you, I'm going to be there in 5 minutes, when he's saying he's going to be there in 5 minutes for the last 3 hours, and he's at the red light around the corner, he'll be right there. Everybody's dealt with that. You're looking out the window waiting for the weed guy to come because you've got to leave for the beach and he's not there. And now we're providing, here's a store, you can go get it. It's easy. We're there. You know the hours. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. It's going to be the same thing every time. You're not going to go for the sour diesel and get the brown frown that you get from your man once every 3 times you go there. It's something that's going to be totally regulated, just safer, better, and more consistent. And that's what we're hoping to have those people in, and just new. In addition to that, though, we're going to dominate the market with the edibles, with the carts, with all that stuff, because the black market is a horrible place for that stuff. You have no clue what's in there. You have no clue what they're putting in. I've literally, as a former black market guy, I've been in California with a guy who said, hey, I've got these carts for $14 each wholesale. And I said, oh, no, they're way less. They're going for $11 where I'm from. And he's like, you want them for $11? I'll go make them for you for $11. And I said, what do you mean? We're just going to put in more junk. And I'm like, it's like cut, or it's like something bad. They'll just put in more alcohol and not give you THC. He could turn your $14 card into an $11 card by making it worse. That's horrible. That's like he's just telling you, I'm going to give you some junk. You're not getting junk from us. You're getting grade A lab tested official THC.
Does that resonate with enough people to overcome store on every corner?
From what we hear, the stores aren't going to be on every corner anymore. They've been very adamant about eliminating them. It's a strange subject for me because I'm a black market guy and I don't hate on those people. I don't want to see anybody's family go out of business who tried to do that. I do own a business now and I want the people to come to me, but I don't have any hatred towards the black market. We're not going to beat them in everything. They're until indoor marijuana rolls out in New York State, they're going to have a better quality flower product than us for cheaper. We're going to dominate them in edibles, in carts, in concentrates, in everything else. It's going to be an interesting battle with them for a while. I'm the kind of person who looks forward to it. I was from the black market. I had drunk kingpin charge out here, which basically the federal government said I was the boss here for 12 years. If I was the boss here then, I don't see what's causing any trouble now or why I'm afraid of selling marijuana against them. I think I could dominate that market. I know I've been to more farms already in this month that they've given me this license that the people from Office of Cannabis Management have. I'm in the field. I'm on Reddit. I'm all forms of social media, just a member of all the groups, Canny, Card Coalition, shout out Card Coalition. They're people that are doing battle for the retailers, some great people out of Rochester. But I'm in all the groups, and I'm going to give you a better purchasing selection, and I'm just going to give you a better shopping experience than you're going to be getting from a black market store. I don't want to insult them. Actually, I will insult some of them. The original ones that opened, that was great. They were doing something. It was something new. They borrowed it from Washington, the whole gifting program with the sticker shops. The people who are opening now, I have no respect for. You're trying to steal money from some guy who had some balls to open up a store when there was a loophole, and now you saw him getting money, and you're trying to take a fraction of his money. I don't have any respect for that. You open your own business. Start something. Think up something on your own. Don't open the same business that the guy on the next block has, where we have two of these on every corner. That you're just stealing someone's idea. There's nothing good about that, or nothing positive. You're like a scumbag to me. So like the people who are just opening them now, you're just trying to steal the guy who's already doing it. Like the people at Greenview, they shut down. I think they were some of the first people out here doing it. Some guys from my neighborhood had a great store out there in Cheektowaga. They're still operating. I'm not going to say any addresses because I don't really care that they get in trouble or not. I feel like I'll go to battle with them with the laws against me. I still think I'm going to end up on top as far as my products, customer service, everything that goes on with us.
You mentioned the customer experience. What is that? So a lot of people are going to be wondering, what do I do? What do I look at? What do I ask for
me
when I go into a store for the first time?
There's going to be two different customer experiences. There's going to be the one that you just talked about right there. If you want to come in, we're educated on our products. We have real pot smokers working there. Granted, my mom's going to be there in the back checking inventory, and my girlfriend, she's not the most educated, but you're going to have people who have been out here in this community for 20 or 30 years who are well-known, who may have been your old guy who was selling your bag, but they know what's going on. They're going to steer you in the best direction possible. In addition to that, though, for somebody like me, I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to be sold on anything. If you're a real pot smoker and you want to smoke a blunt before you come in, and you just want to come in and grab your pre-roll, you can go right up to the counter and grab your pre-roll. You're not going to have to be bothered with some guy who wants to sell you. Go up and get what you want. If you just want to come in and buy something, come in and buy something. If you want to come in and get the experience, talk to someone, learn what an indica and a sativa is, learn what's going to be used for pain, what's going to be used for sleeping, what's going to be used for anxiety, then we'll put you in contact with that information. If you don't want to be sold and you just want to come in, hang out, see what's what, you like the taste of the flower, or you're going to the beach, you just want to grab a vape, just come in and grab it, and we'll leave you alone. Because I think that's also an important part, is a lot of people that smoke weed, and if I'm high, I don't want to be sold. I really don't want to be bothered. I just want to be in and out. So there's either experience you could have. We're equipped for not bothering you and sucking you into making five purchases you don't want.
It's almost like it's funny we're talking about it. It's this brand new thing, but it's just like anything else. It's like when I go get a TV at Best Buy. I know what I'm here to look for, and you know, this is what I want. This is the one. Can you get it for me? Do you have it in the back? And then there's, you know, a bunch of other people who are like, I have no idea what's going on.
And we're trying to cater to both. Like I said, it's whichever one you want to be. We're going to provide it for you. We got a very nice building, a lot of decent artwork in there. It's going to be very warm plants, like a very welcoming feel to the aesthetic inside the building. And it's just a good shopping experience. It's something cool to do. I didn't do it. I was in federal prison when a lot of the legalization went on in California. After I got off and I got off probation, I went out there and checked out all the stores, and it was something that was really cool. For a while, I was really interested in them. I've been to the stores in Massachusetts, Michigan, California, Las Vegas. That's about it. But it was a cool experience for me for a while. I did get a little repetitive. The stores are very similar. But
sure.
It's still a good experience. For me, being arrested from it, it's just great to go out there and see that was existing now. It was amazing to me.
So I, you know, and I'm sure a lot of listeners out there would like, you know, maybe I would check that out. But I go in, I don't know what to ask for. Hey, sir, one cannabis, please. Like, what if I am at that level? What are the questions you're asking the customer to point them in the right direction?
I mean, I guess the first thing I'd want to know from you, if you hadn't done it before, is do you feel comfortable smoking? If you feel comfortable smoking, we'd probably put you in something like a pre-roll that's already set up for you. It's the traditional marijuana. Like, it's basically, that's how people have been smoking for years, is marijuana and a rolling paper. That would be like the simplest form. If you don't feel comfortable smoking, we'd probably put you in an edible, maybe something lighter. There's new ones with CBD mixed in that like kind of keep you a little bit more chill. Like, I feel like if I get really high, off of THC, like the CBD somewhat levels me out. If it's like, okay, we're going to Thanksgiving dinner and we're smoking the blunt an hour beforehand so mom doesn't know, and then we realize the weed was really good and we're still high and got to see mom, like we might take a CBD gummy because that's going to get us back to where we need to be, that we're not going to be drooling on ourselves at the Thanksgiving table or passing out while they're opening Christmas presents, things like that that may have happened to some of my more pot-loving friends in the past. But yeah, we're just going to try and see what you feel comfortable doing and get you at a dosage that you're not going to kind of freak out.
But that's what I think a lot of people are worried about now, because everything you heard is that, oh, this isn't your grandfather's pot.
It's not your grandfather's pot. Your grandfather's crazy. They didn't have the lights to produce the kind of pot that we have these days. So when he tells you he was doing Grateful Dead tour and Jerry passed him the joint, that's not what you're getting today, trust me. I'm sure he really got high and had a great time then, but what's out there is a much more refined product. Also a cleaner product than that, though. You're dealing with something that's not having the pesticides and the chemicals, and you're not going to have to worry about...
There's not actual grass in it.
No. No, exactly. And there may have been actual grass in some of the older products as they were stamping it.
Is there still that level, though? If, you know, someone comes in and is like, I just want to relive going to see the Who at the stadium, and, you know, and like, I want that exact same level. I don't want any of this, you know, fancy new knock my socks off, anything like that. I, you know, give me the old fashioned.
I got a 70-year-old guy, Stu, in East Aurora. Actually, he's not East Aurora, his partner is, he's growing out in Little Valley. Stu's got that for you, I promise you.
You know the guy.
I know the guy. No, he's licensed. I mean, he's got his license. They might be listening right now. Stu's got that for you, 100%. He said he might mix a little CBD in too, just to get you where you want to be. We don't want you drooling on yourself. Or if you don't want to be drooling on yourself, some people do. I don't. Yeah. I might have a rough day. I might get rejected by 6 landlords in the same day for a bottle return and want to drool on myself at the end of the night because I'm so tired of dealing with that. If that's their angle, that can be. But that chill smoke, we've got a guy for you.
So you're hoping for maybe in a month for you to be open at 501 Main. No pressure or anything.
I want to be under a month. We want to be in 2 weeks. Yesterday we kind of extended it to 3 just because we had a rough day on the banking front. The portal for our application has been down for 2 days with the bank that we have to use. We can't use a traditional bank. We don't go to KeyBanker. We're using like an online bank who actually sends a courier out for with the Brinks truck for the cash and whatnot. And it's just not the same process as opening up a widget store. It's a totally different thing. So as long as everything goes well, 2 or 3 weeks, but we never know. This is brand new, so we never know the curveball's coming.
Right, so it's brand new, and there's so much unknown, and you've had a lot of curveballs already in just having this conversation. If we have this conversation again in a year, then again in 2 years or so, what do you think it looks like in the Buffalo area?
In a year? I don't think it's going to be as bad as the smoke shops now, but I think there's going to be a great deal more. Something I will be happy about but sad is I feel like we're paving the way. I don't want to just give us the credit. My girlfriend, we're not going to say her name because she's a public school teacher and we're not advertising at the school. She's not letting anyone know. We understand that people have views that are against us. But my girlfriend and Gina, it's Glenn that also has a licensed wife, in my opinion, are probably the two most educated people on the law and this system and getting a license in Western New York. I've talked to the attorneys and a lot of people are paying them. We didn't pay them. We went on our own. I think we're setting the standard for them. The things that my girlfriend and Gina are doing right now as far as licensing and jumping through all these loopholes, we're setting the standard for them, where I think a year from now it's going to be much easier. They're not going to have to go through what I went through, because A, people are going to see, okay, 501 Main didn't have any problems. Nothing went on there. Like, they're secure. No one robbed it. No one threw any bricks to the windows. People aren't lingering there. It's not a bunch of vagrants. It's a bunch of middle-class people who want to go and spend a lot of money on high-grade marijuana and have a good time. And I think it's going to create a landscape of a lot of stores. And we're paving the way for them. Sometimes I'm happy we're paving the way. Sometimes you get angry because you're like, these people aren't going to go through this. Joel Giambra's got a license. He's not going to go through that. We've already created the path. I've sat in the zoning meetings. I've been with the people from the building inspectors down in Buffalo to try and help them out and give them as much information as I can. And if we can, Judy Porto down there, she's been wonderful.
So it seems like it's already changing. You mentioned Joel Giambra. I mean, it seems like the state's already saying, maybe we're going to skirt around or move past the social justice aspect.
I believe he still worked into social justice applicant through his partner, which I don't know if the process was meant for people to come in like that, for there to be the more wealthy partner. But they fit in the parameters the same way I did. I don't know if it was meant for me, the system. I went to St. Joe's. My family's upper middle class. I feel like this was set up for people more harshly affected by the drug laws in really bad communities. I didn't live in the best neighborhood because my parents had a business there and it was something we had to do. But I didn't live some horrible life the same way he did. And I don't know if this was truly meant for us. I fit in the guidelines to get the license as well as he did. So we'll see what happens with him. It's still to be seen. I just think he'll have an easier time of doing this than us, because my girlfriend and Gina paved the way in this community, at least, for these stores to open up.
Well, I think it's going to be a wild ride.
It's going to be a wild
ride. And I can't wait to see what happens. And hopefully, 2 to 3 weeks, no pressure.
No pressure.
But 501 Main Dank will be open. Aaron, thanks so much.
And I want to thank you guys for having us on. You can't beat this publicity. We respect and love the media so much out here. You've been wonderful to us.
Well, we'll talk with you soon.
Thank you
I'm
so
sure.
much.
Aaron Van Camp joining us. Dank, soon to be open at 501 Main, would be the first in Western New York. I'll be back here tomorrow, bright and early in the morning. You got David coming up next after the news on WBEN.